Inside of your bulletin is a sheet that says Ministry of God's Word. If you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. This is a reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Father, our desire is to indeed worship you with the same attitude, the same mindset as your disciples. Even as the disciples worshiped you, may we do so with our hearts. May we do so with our minds. May we do so with our lips. May we do so with our actions and with everything you have given us. Open our ears, Lord, today to hear anew that which we already know, but may it be impressed upon our hearts so that we might be obedient to your command that is given us here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. John Chapman was born in 1774. And he died in 1845. He was a pioneer and also a part-time missionary for the church. He traveled all over Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. There were even reports that he lived in Pittsburgh for a while. He spent a total of 49 years traveling over all of these states with one major task: planting apple trees. And you probably know what his nickname is: Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed. He's in most of the history books, at least he used to be. He planted enough apple trees to take over 100,000 square miles. His vision produced a rich harvest. God wants us to have a vision for a rich harvest also. And in these verses this morning, Jesus tells us to go, to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. So I want to invite you to take this sheet, turn it over on the other side, and hopefully you'll take some notes. This is a little different sermon today, and I'm only going to be speaking about go today. God has a plan. That plan has not changed in over 2,000 years. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 tells us, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save those that were lost." He wants every Christian to be part of that plan. Not just professionals, not just pastors and those who may be doing some of that work, but every Christian is part of that plan. How do I know that you're part of this plan? You're here. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. In verse 18, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Not to me, but to him. all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. And I want to concentrate on that word authority. It's exousia in the Greek, and the TDNT, that's a theological dictionary of the New Testament, often called by theologians Kittle. 10 volumes just dealing with Greek words. 10 volumes. I'm talking about thick volumes like this. This is what Kittle has to say. This is what the word authority means. Jesus was claiming the right to rule, the right to command, and expect our submission and obedience. Okay, that's the end of the sermon. You can go home now. In verse 19, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And whenever you see the word therefore, you have to look and see before what it's there for. And therefore is pointing on what happens before and what is said before. What is said before? Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven has been given to me. As a result of Jesus' authority, we are to go and make disciples of all nations. But again, sometimes in reading, we don't quite get the picture. Let me fill it in a little bit more. That word nations doesn't mean countries. That word nations is the Greek ta ethne. Ta ethne. It means to all people. That changes the meaning dramatically. It's not that you go, oh, well, I'm not a missionary. Well, he's not calling us necessarily to go to all countries. Some are, but to all people, to all people. So what Jesus is saying to everyone who calls himself a Christian is, since I have all authority, you are to go and make disciples of all people. And typically what happens is we kind of stop when someone gets saved. But we're all called to be disciples and to make disciples. One of my favorite theologians who now is in glory is John Stott. And I have quoted him another number of times over the years. John Stott is one of those great theologians of the 20th century. He passed away, went to glory in 2011, but he said, the living God is ascending God. The living God is ascending God. In other words, if he's a living God and he's my God, what does he want to do? He wants to send us to do what? The work that he did. Another great, just along with him, J.I. Packer. He's 92 years old now. I have to tell you, I cut my teeth reading books written by both of these men. When I was a young Christian looking for depth, they helped me to find that depth, both of them. But he says, the task of the church is to make the invisible kingdom visible. And of course, the word church doesn't mean denomination. It doesn't mean church building. The word church is people. The task of the people, Christians, is to make the invisible kingdom visible. See that line up there? Let's say that that line represents our life compared to eternity. That's our life compared to eternity. We just don't live on that line. People today live for that line. They love that line. They save for that line. They hoard for that line. But they also surround their lives all about that line. But what Jesus says to all of us, he says, go. He says, go. And that word go is an action verb. And that means we're supposed to do something. It's an action verb. It also is a command. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always bothered when I read something and I say to myself, am I doing this? I started doing that with myself many, many years ago. And I think, What can I do? What do I need to do in order to get to what God is saying? We usually think of the Ten Commandments when we hear something about command. But this is another command. Jesus says, go. The essence of what it means to be a Christian is to know Christ and to make him known. That's the essence. If you were to sum it up, it's not just, I ask Jesus into my heart. That's what Christianity is. It is, the essence is to know Christ and to make him known. To make him known. That's our task. That's our task here. God has given us, here in Centerpoint, a mandate. And that's his mandate, to make him known. Part of what's going to happen today at Community Day is exactly that. To make Christ known. For those of you that have agreed to pass out things and pamphlets, you'll be giving out a pamphlet, you'll be giving out a pen, and hopefully they'll ask you a question about Centerpoint. We want to have a part in building God's kingdom by building God's people. Building God's kingdom by building God's people. You see this all throughout the New Testament. For example, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't just say, follow me and get saved. He said, follow me because I want to use you for a special task. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In Mark 3:14, that they might be with him and that he might send them out. Our loving God is a sending God. He doesn't necessarily want to send you to South America, Russia, Africa, Croatia, but he does want you to go. Why do you think we have CEF? Why do you think we have outreaches? So that we, with the CEF program, going into the public schools, so that we can touch the hearts of the young children in this area. So we can try to grab their hearts and bring them to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. There are many of these, but just one more. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. For the hope that you have. Jesus said, go. He said, go. Let me define what that word go means. Let me define what that word go means. This is what it means. While on life's journey, make disciples. This isn't my definition. This is the theological definition. While on life's journey, make disciples. Here is another part of that definition. Having gone, to pursue a journey a person has really already begun. Now, look at that. Having gone. In other words, Jesus assumed, he assumed that we are doing this. Having gone and done this, pursue a journey. Pursue a journey. It's on. God would never have given us the Great Commission if he never expected us to obey it. He would never have given it to us. What good is it? What good is it if all of our prayers are answered? You have a very nice and wonderful home. You have a couple cars and vans, all these TVs, and you have all these luxuries, but still not fulfilling the mission for which God has created us. What good is that? I know it stopped me in my tracks many, 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 many years ago. God isn't calling us to be Billy Grahams. He has the gift of evangelism. But he's calling every one of us to be a witness. Every day when we get a chance. Every day. One of my favorite stories, I haven't told this for a long time, but while we were on vacation, Stacy told us, we would have, Stacy and I had every single day while we were on vacation, just like we do every day, we would get together and have our devotions, and then our group and our family, we would also have devotions every day. But Stacy told this story, which is one of my favorite stories. There was a man, a missionary. It was a missionary who was in a third world nation, third world country. And there were a group of people around him, and he was trying to witness to them. He had been a missionary for many, many years. He was now an old man. And they started to laugh at him. And he stopped and he said, "It's true that I'm not a very handsome man. It's true that my teeth are cracked and all soiled. In fact, many of them are not even my real teeth. It's true also that my nose is far too big for my face. It's true that my clothes are tattered and I look old and broken." He said, "This I know. I have beautiful feet. Isaiah 52. He was quoting Isaiah 52. "How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news." This is so important. It's repeated again. Anybody know what book in the New Testament? Anybody know which book? My wife said Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Great chapter. It's repeated again. "How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news." When I go to meet my Savior, I want to have beautiful feet. I don't know what I'm going to look like. I don't know how many years I have left. All my hair may be gone. Who knows? I may be missing teeth. My father, when he was a boy, they couldn't afford milk. And so in his bottle, they gave him coffee as a baby. They gave him coffee. By the time he was near 50, most of his teeth had fallen out. I don't know, but I do want to have beautiful feet. So, as we think about these things, and whenever we hear a sermon like this, we kind of go slinking. Oh, we slink into our chairs. I don't want you to slink into your chair. I understand that many people find it hard to do some of these things. In fact, every so often, I teach people how to share their faith. But you can help. You can help. You can help in four major ways. You can help in four major ways. One, help to make Pastor Stephen a full-time pastor. Help to make Pastor Stephen a full-time pastor. He's 38 years old. He's getting there. You didn't know he was 38, did you? He's 38. He is ready. He's finished seminary. Not only that, from the time he was in high school, he's gone to all kind of camps and counseled all kind of teens from Pittsburgh, from the inner city, all kind of groups all over. Even in college, he was going to counseling camps and doing all this, working with young people. He has been here from the beginning as a boy. He was our first custodian. He has prepared himself to serve. He does so much. Not only is he the youth pastor, he is the minister of music. Not only does he do that, he does a lot of things for me on the side that you don't even know. But he also works a full-time job. We need two full-time pastors. We need two full-time pastors, at least with all the people that we have. What am I asking you to do? If you're visiting with us, I have to give a disclaimer. I never talk about money. And you know that. However, I talk about money when we have our congregational meeting or if it comes up in the passage we're covering. But because of what we're talking about today, I'm going to ask you to check your checkbook. I'm going to ask you to take a look. If you don't give, will you consider giving something? If you give something, will you consider upping it? If you give a lot, but you're not tithing, will you consider tithing? Just think. 90% you can keep. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. I think that refers to tithing. Set aside a sum of money in keeping with what? Your income. Why would it be in keeping with your income unless it had something to do with that? 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, excel in the grace of giving. The same grace that saves is the same grace that we have to give. There are 500 verses on prayer, 500 verses on faith, 2,000 verses on money in the Bible. Consider the three T's, your time, your talent, and your treasure. How much time do you give to Christ? And look what he gave you. How much talent do you give to Christ? Look how much he gave you. How much of your treasure, your money, do you give to Christ? And look what he gave you. So I want you to consider that. We need to bring him on in order to continue to move forward and do the work of the Lord, which is what we're doing. We need to increase our giving so we can bring him on full time. Second thing, help to sponsor the Ferguson family. Years ago, we sponsored a missionary family called the Matir family. They were missionaries to South America. We sponsored them. After they were retired, we sponsored a church down in Jamaica, a little tiny church. I led two mission groups down there some number of years ago, and we would send that church and pastor money. For the past maybe year or so, we have not had a group or family or missionary group. And the Fergusons, by the way, Liz is related to Matt. Liz is Matt's sister, but don't tell anybody. And so I'm going to ask them to come up and speak to you a little bit about their missionary endeavors and to share their message with you. That's Bill, and that's Liz. Or is this Bill? Let me see. I get confused sometimes.
Yeah, so thanks. How should we have this? Should we put it in front of our mouth, or is this... All right. Yeah, thanks for letting us talk about what we're planning on doing in the next, 30 years? I don't know. My name is Bill. This is Liz. And our family, we have 4 children with us. 2 of them are sitting over there. 2 are in the children's. It's Katie, Claire, Ryan, and James. And then we have an 18-year-old who is in Colorado right now, Anna. She was here with us for a little bit, but she went off to Colorado. So we're with an organization called Pioneers, if you've ever heard of them. Their purpose statement, just to summarize real quick, is... their purpose is to plant churches among unreached people groups. And so just a quick definition of what an unreached people group is, or a people group. It's a people group is those people who speak the same language and have the same culture. So a shared customs, beliefs, and mannerisms. That would be a people group. So we would be a people group, North Americans. What we were doing before this is we went to China for 2 years. We were hoping to plant a church in one of the many unreached people groups in China. And so, like I said, roughly 2 years we were there, and we identified an unreached people group, the deaf in China. And we were in the process of learning the national language and the deaf language at the same time. And then everything came to an abrupt end. And Liz is going to share, she journaled some things during this time that was ending for us. And it's kind of, some of it is shocking or whatever. It uprooted our family and it affected a lot of people, so.
You need to be where they can find you. Go to school and be prepared to be taken in and questioned. Those are words that we will never forget. It was just a normal Monday morning. Excuse me. Our children had already left to go to our homeschool co-op. I was sitting at my desk when my phone rang. Our teammate Amy was on the other line. I noticed right away that she sounded strange as she told me that she needed to cancel our lunch plans together. I asked if she was okay. She replied no. And in that moment, I just knew in my heart what was happening. Our teammates had been taken from their language classroom by 12 armed provincial security officers and escorted back to their home, where their house was searched and items were confiscated. They were then taken to an undisclosed location to be questioned for 9 hours. Later that night, when they were released to go, they came to our home because we'd been watching their 3 children all day. Upon their arrival, we all switched off our phones, left them in a room, and the 4 of us went behind a closed door to whisper. We were only given a few brief details. They weren't allowed to say much for fear of being punished or imprisoned. Their passports had been taken, and they were told by the interrogators that they would get them back after the investigations were over. We were told that our names were on a list that the government had, and that they knew what our organization we were a part of, and we should expect to be questioned, possibly as soon as the next morning. Well, Tuesday morning came, but the police didn't come for us. We went to our language class at the university the same as every day, only there was nothing that felt normal about it. We waited with bated breath, every noise in the school sounding ghostly and vibrating the nerves throughout our bodies. That afternoon, we heard of more friends being taken in for questioning, and not just from our city, but in other places in the country, all of whom were with our organization. By Friday morning, it became apparent that we would no longer be able to stay in the country. Our teammates were told that morning that they were no longer allowed to stay in China, and in fact, their visas were stamped as being deported, that they wouldn't be allowed to come back. We realized that we needed to leave before the government had a chance to question us. Because of the type of questions our teammates were being asked, it poses security risk to national believers, other workers, and our organization as a whole around the globe. Saturday afternoon, so we started the process of packing up our house just the very next morning. So Saturday afternoon, as we were packing up our house, our language teacher decided to stop in and bring us some food. When she walked into our apartment, she saw all of our boxes and belongings scattered everywhere, and she got this startled look on her face, and she asked me what we were doing. I dreaded having to tell her what was happening because we had grown very close to her. She had spent nearly every day in our home for the past 2 years. I wept as I explained we had to go, and she wept as she told me that we were like family to her and she didn't want us to leave. She told me how much she loved us over and over. It was the most gut-wrenching goodbye we've ever had to do. And that was the first of saying goodbye to people and places we loved, some of which we'll never see again. We arrived back in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin area we're both from, on October 31st, just a little over a week from when everything started. We were essentially homeless. We found a few different places to stay over the next 2 months. But I had put word out after our arrival that our family needed a place to stay as we recovered from the trauma of leaving China so that we could figure out what our next steps were. Some friends that we've known since I was a child heard of our need and offered us a place to stay here in Beaver County. We decided to move here because it was near family and we hadn't seen them in years. When we arrived here in mid-January, we also needed to find a new church family. My brother Matt invited us to Center Point, telling us how much they loved it here. We decided to check it out and immediately felt welcomed and at home. And I can testify to that video that we watched this morning that, I mean, just such a great church here. And we are so thankful to be here at Center Point.
So we share that story not to, like, woe is us, like, feel sorry for us. But it gives us, like, I don't know, you guys can maybe understand where we're coming from. And also, like, the question, why do we do this? Why are we going to another country? Revelation 7:9 says this: "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." And so the context of this passage is the church standing before Christ at the end of the age. And we see these people, they're believers from all tribes, tongues, nations. And as of right now, I don't believe this can be fulfilled just because there are still unreached people groups, people who don't have the gospel, who don't have a way to hear the gospel without someone going and telling them, without learning their language. Someone has to learn their language and tell them the gospel. So as of right now, 2,000 years later, there's still people that don't have access to the gospel. And because in my opinion, this can't be fulfilled, there's still work to be done. And we have dedicated our lives doing that, and so that's why we go. And since we can't return to China, we were looking elsewhere. Where else are there unreached people groups? And we've, like I said before, in China, we've identified the deaf as an unreached people group. And we looked for deaf elsewhere. And funny enough, we found a deaf people group in Croatia. And that is, and no, he did not have any influence. Bob told us to go there. No, I'm just kidding. So it was just kind of a coincidence that we had decided on Croatia, and then we started coming to this church, and then found out that Pastor Steve was Croatian. So it's a coincidence.
They decided to go Croatia first, not to come here. I told them nothing about Croatia.
So many people think the deaf as a disabled people, but the reality is that they have their own language, they have a visual language, and the Croatian sign language is actually very different from American sign language, so it varies from country to country, so it is a different language, and they also have their own culture, and that is the definition of a people group right there, own language and their own culture. And the fact that the deaf have been overlooked for so long, even with the mission organizations, and until recently, within, what, the past 5 years maybe, mission organizations have been identifying the deaf as a people group, and they've otherwise been forgotten before that. So our time here at Center Point, we have already seen this body of believers, their heart for your heart for the community and your desire to reach the unreached. It's been a huge encouragement to us with everything that we've gone through to see your love for people, for the gospel, and for us. We've had people offer their home to us, and we've had meals given to us already, even in our short time here. We're excited to partner and expand, to partner with Center Point and to expand the ministry of the gospel to Croatia, to overseas. And so there are some things that, I'm finishing up now. He told us 10 minutes, so I know we've probably gone over, but just some things to pray for us about. We are planning on leaving for Croatia this January, so January 2020, and Right now we're at 43% of our advised budget, and we need to bring it up to 100% as per our organization's requirement. So we will be spending a lot of time raising support. And this is the biggest hurdle that we have right now, is our funding. Another one is we would love to have teammates. And the people that we were in China with, we were working with, they were really good teammates. They were awesome. We couldn't ask for better teammates. And because of the trauma that they experienced in China, it doesn't look like they're going to be going on at this point. So that would be a huge prayer request for us, that we get really good teammates. We're also looking at schooling options for our children. And when we were in China, we had two teachers come out to essentially homeschool our kids for us. So Liz is also a part of this work. It's not me doing the work, you know, learning the language and planning a church. It's Liz's in partnership with me. So she needs to be fully dedicated to the language just as much as me. And so if you know of anyone who wants to come to Croatia as a teacher for a school year or a homeschool teacher for our kids, that'd be great. If you know anyone, just let us know. And also, one last thing, our organization is wanting us to do a security training in Florida. So we'll be gone in a couple days. We have to leave, and then we'll be coming back August 5th. So that's kind of our schedule in the next couple weeks.
So we wanted to share that with you. You know, when we first met Bill and Liz, I almost fell off my seat when they said they were going to become missionaries to Croatia. And I said, our people aren't going to believe, I'm kind of kidding, they aren't going to believe that I didn't have something to do with that. And I did not. It's just amazing, that part of it. And at the same time, I'm very excited that we can partner with them and help them. Also, when we met with them, Stacy and I met with them first, I was very honest, and they were very honest with me. I said, our first endeavor, I told them, was to bring Pastor Stephen on full time. I said, I want you to know that. I said, I can't guarantee at this point how much we'll be able to help you. We will help, and we will. We want to help as much as we can. We want to be there for them, monetarily wise, support, and also prayer wise, and any other way they can help. But I did say our first part is we need to bring Pastor Stephen on full time. So we're coming before you today with these things, and they're so important. We're in a partnership with the gospel. Philippians talks about that we're in a partnership with the gospel. So we want to bring Pastor Stephen on full time. We want to support the Ferguson family as missionaries. Get involved in a ministry at Centerpoint. If you've been coming here for a while, and you're not involved in a ministry, get involved in a ministry. Like what? Cafe outreach. We're going to be starting a cafe outreach with CCBC. Jeff and Nate are involved in that. Child Evangelism Fellowship. Children's Church. And everything that's involved in that. Communicycle. Community Day at Centerpoint. Grief Share. Helping Hands Backpack. Helping Hands the Homeless Shelter. Helping Hands Food Items for students. Little Lamps Children's Ministry. Meet and greet. Support missionaries. Our missionaries. And I can't tell you how excited, because we've been missing that for a couple of years, looking for that. Nifty 50s group. Quilting ministry. Outreach events that we have. Small group Bible study, which starts this Wednesday. Then we'll move to Thursday. Stephen Ministries. I'm excited about that. It's another new ministry we will be beginning. And Angela Reckner and Luann Harrell-Lewis will be going to special training in Pittsburgh so we can begin this new ministry that is amazing, amazing. Soup kitchen, young adults, youth group, middle school, high school. We're starting a high school youth group. We have great youth group leaders. Of course, you know Pastor Stephen. Nate is the son of a pastor. Aren't you, Nate? And they also have, who are you again? Jeff Francona and Melissa. And I understand that Craig will be hopping on in this. So this is, you have a great group of people here for your children. Volunteer help to take care of Centerpoint. Fourth, actively invite people to worship. If you find it so difficult to talk about Christ, the bare minimum we can do is invite people to come and worship so that we can meet our request to bring Pastor Stephen on and also to help the Ferguson family and also bring families to Christ in all of that. So we're putting all this before you today. I hope you take it to heart. I hope you take it the right way. We need you in order to do these things. Musicians. Mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. Isaiah 52. People, they are gracious, they are loving, they are merciful. Help us, Lord, to honor you in all things. May we be a blessing to you. Thank you, Lord, for the donuts that we're about to eat, and they will not cause any bad on us at all. Amen. We give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So please come through that door there and have some donuts and coffee with us.